sometimes a Rishon is getting.
I'll put it close.
Sometimes a Rishon says something. I mean, you know, the Rav one time said that. He said the godless of Rav Chaim was not just that, in terms of his chidushim, in terms of his creativity, but that sometimes it wasn't his own ideas. I mean, his ideas were already written by Rishonim. But his godless was that he underlined. He knew where to underline. He underlined certain things that Rishonim already said. So we don't have to look at chachma and creativity only as being our own and being our own innovation. But really, there's much chachma that just requires underlining. I mean, that's a part of the process of knowledge, to know what to underline. So I think that the what the Ramban says over here, what we did last week, is something which must be underlined, extremely important. I mean, the Ramban, you know, writes straight. I mean, you know, he didn't use a pencil to underline things. But you have to be able to perceive, you know, the import of some of the statements, the significance and the ramifications of what he says and how important it is. I mean, what the Ramban that we did last week, where he says that the person who just says he wants to believe, that he says, Zutaina Saksilim, and he says, what do you have to go into all this? Because it's Taina, because the people say that we believe that God is just. So he says, well, Nashlach HaKol Al Asmach Shenasa B'Sof She'en Lafonav Lo Avlo V'Lo Shichacho Al HaKol Dvar V'Mishpat. He says, why don't we rely on that? He says, Zutayna Saksilim, he says, Moasei Chochma. So, first of all, I mean, one of the amazing things in Chazal is how they define different personalities, made with amazing insight. For instance, I mean, the very term of Moasei Chochma, and Moes Chochma, it really comes from the Nevi'im said. The Nevi'im said, It's in Yirmiyahu, but there's one Navi, Hosea really emphasizes the Navi that emphasizes that point. For instance, Hosea Dalet Vav. Okay, he says, Nidmu Ami, my nation is cut off, Mibli Hados, because of lack of knowledge. Kiato hadas mo'asta, because you despise das. There's a lot of it's kedai to go through. I mean, emphasizes the point that there's a phenomenon in the human being that is mo'es hadas. That's what the Ramban is. Ramban says mo'asei hachochma. So you see, our Masorah, our Nevi'im already identified a certain kind of a personality. Personality that's Moes Bachachma. What does it mean? It means to say that there are individuals that would love that things should be in the world, things should be the way their emotions perceive them at first sight. The way they perceive things from youth. There's a tremendous force in man that he wants to believe that there's things are simply the way he perceives them and the way he senses them to be from early youth, and usually people don't change throughout their lives. They just adopt a certain kind of an attitude which they have from early youth, and they despise chachma, because chachma really tears up the very basis of the way we see things naturally, and that's the nature of chachma. So that's why there's a tremendous differentiation between the person that's a Talmud Chacham and a person that is an Am Haaretz. Because the Am Haaretz is one that wants to live in a world that is described by his mind according to a simplistic way that he was raised. And when you show him things aren't that way, and things go against his natural vision, his natural way of saying things, So he's a mois. A person has a choice over there, as a bechira. Either he can give up things which are very valuable to him in the way he sees life, and just throw them away, and then run after chokhma, which is a rare person. Or a person can remain with his initial attitude and be a mois b'chokhma. I mean, that's what the Nevi'im really pointed out. So the attitude, the Ramban says, the attitude of those people who don't want to go into the questions and into the ashkof, into the philosophy of Yahadus, and just want to believe, because they just want to say, that's it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just called Rachav Mishpat. Ein avlo v'ein shechol afanav, and that's enough. He says, those are people that are mois b'chokhma. What does it mean? It means they don't want to give up their cherished beliefs. The one, I mean, who points it out a lot, I don't think he was too successful in doing it, but the one that points it out a lot is the Rambam in the Moreh Nevuchim, where the Rambam says that I know that people will read what I write, and they will despise it, and they will have to hate it, he says, because it takes away from them their cherished beliefs. And this is really what the Rambam is saying, the same thing as the Ramban, the nature of people that are mois b'chokhma. That's a tremendous nisoyon, I mean. It's a part of our bechira, and it's a very difficult thing to do for a person to abandon his whole way of thinking and to admit, to be modo that his whole attitude is completely based on nonsense and nothing, and drop his whole modus operandi, I mean, that he has his entire life, and then say, I have to just go after Chachma. Everything I have up to now, I know nothing. It's a tremendous nisayon for a person to do that, but that is really a part of our nisayon in this life, in terms of understanding Yahadus, and and conforming to Yahadus. So on that point, I would like to just bring. The reason why I do it is because in today's society, I think this attitude is very prevalent. In today's society, people place a value on being simply religious. Simply from. I mean, this became a, on the contrary, it became as if that's the proper attitude, and anyone that investigates and questions and learns and studies, that person is an outcast. But a person who is a simpleton is really the righteous individual. Okay? And this is Kineged Kol HaTorah Kula. Kineged everything that we know. I just want to say it's not just the Ramban. Not just the Rambam. It has nothing to do with the Rambam and the Moreh Nevuchim. It's simply a yesod that all Chachmei Yisrael, without exception, have accepted and have warned against that kind of an attitude. Basically, the one that sums it up best, I think, I mentioned it before, is the in the Eitz HaTfilas, where he says, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. So he says, why do you have to say that? Why don't you say, L'kei Avram? Avram already discovered a Kadosh Baruch. No, he says, why you have the L'kei repeated? He says, because every one of the Avos investigated on themselves and understood with their own primary knowledge the truth about the existence of a Kadosh Baruch. And they didn't rely on Avram Avinu. He says, and people that just follow others blindly, he says, that's derech hagoyim. He says, that's not our derech. But, unfortunately, I mean, what happens is, the Eitz HaRa is very great, and people, not only that they veer off the path, I mean, but they take things, like the Navi says, and the things which are evil, they raise up as good, and things which are good, they put down as evil. I mean, you have to understand that the human mind is capable of doing such a thing. The Menorah Samor, I just want to mention what the Menorah Samor says. Sefer Menorah Samor, a very famous Sefer of Musar. And by the way, I don't know anybody that doesn't accept the Sefer Menorah Samor. And Sefer Menorah Samor, in this edition, it's on Daf Reish Chof Tes, in this edition over here. But it's in the identify it over here. It's in the Perek Sheni of V'klal ha-shlishi b'filpul ha-chochma. Okay? Yes, it's under the heading of... Just a second, let me just backtrack a little. Just a second. Yes, he breaks down the klalim in a little complicated, but... Okay, it's under the klala, klala rishon, l'kboa itim latoi. Then he has the chalokin, and then he has klal beis. This is klal gimel, perek, achelik ashlishi. Okay, so achelik ashlishi, klal gimel, achelik ashlishi, perek rishon. Okay, it's a little complicated, but anyways, it's perek, it's very confusing. Perek shen. When's the first volume? First volume. Okay. A little difficult. But anyways, you'll find it. Lamadna, he says like this. Very complicated way of organizing his sefer. Lamadna shachachamim aniskarim, he says, these chachamim that are mentioned, the cha'ela rabbin, he's speaking about chazal, hayu bikiyim b'chachmos. They were bucking in all chachmas. V'ramzu k'tzas b'midrashos aksuvim b'talmud, shakar agadas. And they in their agadas, in the divrei agada, they gave out remozim, hints, allusions to these ideas that they knew from all the chachmas. Because he mentions before, chazal know all the chachmas. So he says, v'al yalal adas sheto alta me'uta. Don't think that the Toelis of Divrei Agada is, you know, like people say, the main thing is to learn a sugya in halacha. But Agada is sort of like something which is subsidiary, not really that important. And he says, don't think that way, he says. Why? He says, Avali gedola lemeven. It's very great for those that understand it. Veheli muha, and they hit it. Kideshi yuchal ha-ma'ayin ha-derech. He says the reason they did it was they wrote it in such a way that the person that's in the ayin should be able to find, once he knows the methodology, he should be able to find the inner ideas to understand the ultimate good, the tova hamitis, a good which there is no greater good, because that is the good for man. V'nigla mehem chelek me'inyonei elohus u'me'amitas ha'inyonim b'chol ma shehivinu vo anshei hamada. He says, and they revealed a portion of metaphysical knowledge and truth from all that the people, the anshei hamada, they revealed the true ideas from all the chokrim, all the anshei hamada, all the thinkers. U'b'chol ma she'posku bo ha-filosofim ha-toronim she'b'chol dor v'dor. Whatever our philosophers have determined to be true from in every generation. Avol mi she'en lo choch la-hasig bo ha-derech ha-pnimi, a person that doesn't have the ability to really understand the deep ideas behind the chazal, he says, v'yachshov she'en kifshotam. And he thinks that they're just pshuto kemashmo, that these chazal are just simple statements, and he just attaches himself to the superficial meaning. He says, "Ein l'cha dover yoser nifred min ha-seichel v'rochok min ha-das." There is nothing that could be further away from knowledge, from seichel, from intelligence and understanding and knowledge, he says. Rabboseinu asu chaim b'shvil inyanim nefloyim. He says the reason why our Chazal wrote that way is because of certain wondrous things. Ho'echad mehem hu lefalpel libos hanevonim alohoyer einehem. One of them is to open up the heart of those who understand knowledge and to give light to their eyes. In other words, they should be able to see the truth. And that's one reason why they wrote it that way. It's written with, that's one reason. In other words, once a person knows the methodology, he has access to an area where his whole mind is enlightened. And also, ula avar enei ha-secholim. And also to blind the eyes of the fools. Shelo yeor libam la'olam. That they should never be able to see the light. She'ilu marim la, they should be forever barred from single light. She'ilu marim la begilu yaderach amiti, because if you would show them what the true method, what the true way of life is, the true derech hachayim, he says, hayu makshim alel, it would be very difficult for them. Uvorchem mimeno, and they would run away from it. Kefi choser tivon, because of the lack in their status, in their nature. Valeyam amruzal, ein megalim lahem es asod, you're not allowed to reveal the secret to them. Rotzalomar lefi she'ein sichlam sholem, because their minds, their intelligence is not complete. Ve'ein dayus b'chocham lekabel ho'emes k'mos she'i. And they don't have the ability to accept the truth the way it really is. He says like this. He says, U'chishe yosir ha'borei ha'mosach mileiv ho'ish ha'chofetz lahasig ho'emes. And when God removes the curtain, the veil, from the heart of the person that wants to understand the truth, acharei asher yargil nafsho badeos, after he learns, he becomes accustomed to understand knowledge, v'yosim cheshko b'chachmos, and he puts his cheshek and his love and his desire in chachmos, he says, oz yovin mehen kefisichlo, he says, then he'll be able to understand according to his das. Okay, va'ad sheyagia lavinom alburim, but before he really understands these things well, im yira devarim rechokim misichlo, if he sees things that aren't intelligent, don't make any sense, okay, al yislach asarim badavar aho. He says he shouldn't think that it's a lack in the statement of Chazal. Aval yismechenu lechosa sichlo. He should attribute it to the lack of his own knowledge. They didn't understand the truth. In other words, basically he says the barometer, the way to tell whether or not you understand the Chazal, there is a criterion that's available to you. And that is, does it make sense? Sechel. If there's no sechel to it, doesn't make sense, then you know you don't understand what Chazal are talking about. I mean, just remember an incident where a youngster in Rambam Yeshiva asked Rav Aaron Soloveitchik about the medrash that that a malach teaches the embryo, kola tera kula. So he asked him a question about it. So Rav Aaron Soloveitchik said that that's not to be understood literally, he says. So the youngster said, why not? He says, because we know that an embryo doesn't know a Mishnah. He says, and to believe that is stupid. Basically, that's exactly what he was saying. In other words, there's something, that's exactly what the Menorah Samor says, that if you see something that is stupid, I mean, it doesn't make any sense, then you know you don't understand it. And what the person should do is, instead of embracing it and thinking he really has, he got to the kernel of what Chazal is saying, that some kind of a malach is standing there inside of the pregnant woman's stomach and teaching with a little candle, teaching the embryo, kalatarakula, when he knows it's utterly nonsensical, he should realize that he's very, very far removed from understanding what this Chazal is trying to convey. But they're really trying to convey a deep idea, philosophical idea that is very deep, but they hid it in a certain outer type of outer shell, so to speak, in order that the Chachamim should recognize right away, they know the methodology, where to go, what the idea is, and those who are fools should know, basically, that they don't really understand it, and they should just keep away from it. They shouldn't know that this soda is beyond them, it's not for them. So I just thought I'd mention that because the Ramban mentions it over here. And again, certain things have to be underlined. And this, in my opinion, is very prevalent today. Again, I mean, where people have taken nonsense and shtus and have raised it to the level of that's the from person, the person that believes in the nonsense because they believe that Chazal said this. That is not the Derech HaTorah. It's against the Derech HaTorah. And there is no one that supports, none of Chachmei Yisrael support this position. It's what people try to do, most of them say, well, that's the Rambam and the Maran Vuchim. It has nothing to do with the Rambam and the Maran Vuchim. There is no Chacham from Chachmei Yisrael, from the Chachmei Adoros, I don't care who they are, that accepted such an idea. That a nonsensical thing, something which is utterly stupid, it's a mitzvah to believe it and say that this is the Gavas HaTorah. On the contrary, to do that is to take the Karen HaTorah and to really and to totally degrade it. And that's what the Ramban says. Every Rishon says that there is no sheet like that in Yadis. That idea is found by Goyim. Okay. Yes. The second thing I think deserves, and again I'm not rushing because I think this area is extremely important. And again, I'll emphasize what the Ramban says, where he says that he breaks it down to three reasons why it's important for a person, why the Derech HaSichlin and the Moaseh HaChachma must be abandoned, and where he says that the reason is, he says, first of all, he says, our whole purpose in life, I mean, is to understand the Darkei Hashem Yisbarach. I mean, that's the whole purpose in life. And then he says, of course, that he says the second thing is that there cannot be any Amuna without Das, like we explained last week. And the third thing he says is that if a person does not understand the Mishpat Elokim, and he has kashas, and he has questions, but he just says to himself, you know, I believe, and this is it, that is a pirud, that is a machitza between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because it's impossible, it's virtually impossible for him to be an Ohev Hashem if he really in the inner recesses of his mind thinks that God is not just. If he doesn't see God's mishpat, he doesn't see God's chesed and his midas harachamim and kol derech of mishpat, if he doesn't see that, so then this is a mechitza between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I don't care how many times he says ein shechor ein avlo, it's not going to help, because basically there is a barrier between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that I think is something which is very extremely, again, something which really should be underlined and something which a person should never lose sight of. Yes. That's exactly what Ramban used that pasuk to mean, the exact opposite. Exactly. Superficial. Oh, yeah, superficial. Superficial, exactly. That's the point that the Menorah Samar brings it out very well. I mean, that's the point. Not just the Menorah Samar, I can show you the Sefer Karim, but there's no one. There's virtually no one that holds from the... If there are people out there trying to get others to believe that there's a Derech HaTorah which is based on simplicity and just taking Mamor Chazal of Divrei Nevi'im on a superficial plane and saying that's a religious act to believe in those things even though they don't make any sense, there's no one that holds away. There's no sheet like that. And nor is there a sheet that it holds that what the Nevi'im say or what the Chachamim say are simple. So the Ramban, Tzadik B'Amunaso Yichya, shows exactly the opposite. The Tzadik can live because his Amunah is a real Amunah. It's a different kind of an Amunah. It's an Amunah that's based on Chachma. Like I mentioned last week, like the physicist. It's a different kind of Amunah. That Amunah, he could be Yichya. But a person that doesn't have that Amunah, he's not a Tzadik. And a Tzadik doesn't mean a righteous person. A Tzadik means a Chacham. And a person who is a true chacham, the truly righteous, virtuous individual, is filled with chachma. An individual like that, his emunah he can live with. That's what it means. That's what the Ramban says. That's the meaning of the pasuk. Okay, they take the word emunah, which is really, in translation, is belief. And unfortunately, what they do is they take that word and they ascribe to it a notion that the Ummah Sa'olam ascribed to it, and they say that this is what the Navi meant. No sheikhs, no relationship to that. Okay. But since we have to understand the third argument that a Ramban is extremely important, I mean, it shows the the importance of pursuing this area of knowledge, because there can be no greater defect in man than to have a distance and a barrier between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, what could be a greater defect in a person's life? So that's why it's extremely important, I mean, that we understand the Mishpat Hashem insofar as we are able to. And there's one thing that Mark Salman mentioned, brought my attention to, the pasuk. I think I just want to mention this pasuk that I think gives us a certain insight into an area of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mishpat, based on the pasuk that Ramban mentioned last week. Okay, the pasuk in Mishlei. Have the Mishlei here? Okay. Pasuk in Mishlei, where the Ramban says that this, everything he says in these prakim over here, in these paragraphs, are really summarized. You could summarize it in one word. I mean, one statement of Shlema HaMelech in Mishlei, Mishlei Yutes Pasuk Gimel, that's Yivelas Odom Tesalef Darko. Va'al Hashem Yizaf Libo. Okay, so Mark Salomon brought my attention to this, to the Rashi over there. It's a very interesting Rashi. Okay, Rashi says on that pasuk. Okay, pasuk Yivela Sa'odam Tesalef Daita Tesalef Darko. Where's the pasuk? I think it was a mistake here. Huh? Was it Yutes what? Yutes Gimel. Yutes Gimel, okay, right? Yeah, right. Yutes Gimel. Yivela Sodom Tesalef Darko V'al Hashem Yizaf Libo. Okay. So it means the crookedness of a person, the fact that the person is a chote, is to Salef Darko, will distort his derech, his way of life. V'al Hashem Yizaf Libo, then he complains to God. An amazing Rashi there, because Rashi says like this. So the plain pshat is that you are the cause of your own harm, which is something that everybody, I mean, they may not want to admit it, but at least they could understand that that's true, that people cause their own problems and then they complain about their situations. I mean, that is definitely truism. And if a person would be honest and would recognize this truth, they would see that most of the problems that they have are really problems that they themselves got themselves into. Insofar as gaining, having a good life, having a life of satisfaction, a life which is enjoyable, beneficial. I mean, I'm not even talking about in terms of the nefesh. I'm just talking about even in practical terms. Okay, so people, even a simpleton understands it. But Rashi gives it a new dimension. It's an interesting thing. Rashi gives it a deeper dimension. Rashi is like this. He says, Ba'avono bolo hara, ki bi'ivalto tesalef darko, v'over averos v'nefroim mimenu, u'bevo lo atzora zoef libo al HaKadosh Baruch Hu, u'mahaher achamida sadin. Okay, so he says like this. Kigon, Ache Yosef, like the brothers of Yosef. She'omru mazos oso lakim lana. Okay, so the moment, so they went out to Mitzrayim, and then they went to get the rations. And what happened was that they put back their money put back in the saddlebags. So then on the road, when they untied the saddlebags, so they saw the money, so they got scared. And Shimon was already taken away, so they saw troubles. So what did they say? They said, "Mazos also lakim lano." So the plain shot everybody learns is that they had an uncanny sense of the Ashgacha. I mean, like they saw it as something min hashamayim. I mean, it's the way plain shot people learn. Even though you don't find in the Torah such a thing, you don't find the Torah such a thing that tzaddikim are saying this is a this is min hashamayim. As a matter of fact, the example, the one that says min hashamayim in Bereishis is really Lavan Arami. He's the one, because when he wanted the shidduch, So he said, "May Hashem yatzar davar, lo nuchal davar lo harayt tov." That's a funny, it's a strange thing, but many times, oftentimes, the Rashi that says this is min hashamayim. It's min hashamayim because it fits into his scheme of things. So right away, it's min hashamayim. So, but usually we don't have, you don't see. I mean, in the Torah, that Moshe Rabbeinu said this is min hashamayim, that's min hashamayim, or the avos. I mean, you don't find that they said it. When they do say it, it's a different way. Different way. Okay. But you come to the Achei Yosef and they do say that. Mazos also Elokim Lano. I mean, which on the surface sounds like they're saying they know. How do they know this is Min HaShemayim? You know, I mean, how do they know that? There's a Hashgacha Klolius, a Hashgacha Pratius, Saki makes a judgment so quick. So everybody learns Pshat in the Pasuk, they had this inner sense, or they're on the level. I mean, you can give terutzim. Okay. But Rashi says an unbelievable thing. Rashi says, on the contrary, he says, that that what they said, they're really to be condemned for what they said. Mazel sasa ala kimono. Okay? Exactly. He says that's the example of the person that is Mesalef Darko. He fell asunder the Salah, he complains against God. He says, what is, you know, according to Rashi, the Pshat is a plain. I mean, they were overwhelmed. Mazal Sosa Lakimono was an expression of simply being overwhelmed. So, and Rashi says that, in other words, they lost it, they Mazal Sosa Lakimono, and really the truth of the matter is they did it to themselves. So the question is, I mean, what does it mean by they did it to themselves? So you could learn plain pshat. You know, they were Avera. So, I mean, Avera, the Mechiras Yosef, the Torah explains the whole Avera very clearly, depicts it very clearly. It's a simple answer. I think there's something deeper in Rashi. Rashi thinks like this. Yvelus, Rashi thinks like this. The truth of the matter is that what happened, they could never have known. There's no way that they could have known that their deed that they did years before would result in this. Okay, well, I mean, okay, so they took the brother and they sold him as an eved to Mitzrayim. That's the last they saw of him. Goodbye. Okay? How could this come back to haunt the person and to cause them, because of that event, to cause them the greatest pain? How is it? It's too far. The Shtalshlos Asibos, I mean, the chain, the concatenation of events, the chain of events are so remote that this person that they sold as an Eved should go down to Mitzrayim and he's going to wind up being the leader of the country, the Sheni Lamelach, the prime minister of the country. I mean, it's so far-fetched. It's like it's unbelievable, you see. Well, Rashi's pointing out a beautiful idea. Rashi's saying, but the truth of the matter is, that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. That it was because their own deeds, because they did something evil to Yosef HaTzadik, and they emotionally were involved, and they made a din Torah that wasn't a din emes, and they would don him to Avdus, and because of that, the chain of events was such that this came back to give them the greatest pain and the greatest harm. You see? So what does that show you? That shows you, Rashi gives you a new dimension to Ivelos Adam, to Solif Darko. That people always think that they understand the chain of events. They think they understand it. And they think they have a certain way of looking at life and saying, well, I did this, I'm safe, because nothing can really ever happen out of this event. Too far-fetched, you see. But what they don't realize is that there is absolutely no way for a human being to know what is going to happen from an event that he does. The Ishtalshlus Asibos, the chain of events, is something which is not given over to the Das HaAdam. So when a person does an injustice, does something wrong, there's no way he could say the most remote thing can happen, which, because of what he did, and will come back to harm him. Where the person will not even, when it doesn't even recognize, there's no way. That's exactly what Rashi's pointing out. That people complain, and this is really true, that people are willing to admit they made mistakes. That I said, okay, it's not easy to find a person like that, but everybody with good sense is willing to admit that a lot of things in their life is due to their own weaknesses, their own misjudgments, their own inability to use their seichel. That everybody's willing to admit. But what people often do is, they'll say, well, this thing that happened can't be because of anything I did wrong, and what do? They scan their life, and they look over everything, and they say, well, look, it couldn't be because of this, and since they can't find anything, then they say, I'm just an unfortunate individual. I got caught, I'm an unfortunate individual. Allah Hashem Yizof Libo. But they don't realize that there is no way that you could know the chain of events. Could the Achei Yosef have known that by selling a brother as an Eved, the lowest station in life to the group of Yishmaelim, the Bedouins basically, that this individual is going to become the Sheni LaMelech? Who would ever imagine such a thing? It's the most distant thing from a person's mind. Nevertheless, the truth is, that's exactly what happened. So what Rashi's pointing out is that a person thinks he knows the causal chain. That's what the Achei Yosef made a mistake. Mazos also lekimlano. There's no way they could see the chain of events. So they blame God. But the truth of the matter is, if they would have been able to see the chain of events, they're the ones that were responsible. Of course, it was remote that this should happen, but if they would have known the chain, would they have said, Mazos also lekimlano? What did they say in the end? In the end, when they came in front of Yosef, what did they say? They said, Lu yistameinu Yosef, Oshev yashev lanu es kol ha'ra, asher gamar lanu. We were responsible, and now they were afraid that Yosef is going to take revenge. When they saw the chain, they knew it was their mistake. In the end, they were moda was their mistake. The only thing is, the chain of events was Nelam, and people make judgments about whether they are responsible for their fate on whether they could see the chain or not. And whether they could see the chain. That's what Rashi points out. That the events that take place in your life that you complain about and you consider yourself unfortunate for, really, you have no right to make a judgment about those things. There's only one way you can make a judgment. Did you do something right or wrong? Was it according to Seichel or not according to Seichel? But to try to think that you could isolate the things that you did in your life based upon the way you see the chain of events, or you think you understand the chain of events, say, it can't be because I did this, because that's impossible. That could not have been an outcome of this deed, so I can figure out about that. Maybe I did this. Maybe I did that. But when you scan your mind, what Rashi's saying, a deeper idea, that when you scan through all the events and everything that took place, don't use as a premise the fact that you can determine, that you have an idea as to where this evil that is that befell you, this unfortunate situation that befell you, where it comes from. You cannot base on how you think things would probably work. You see, that's not the way it goes. That's a Rashi's beautiful example from the Achei Yosef. Mazos also lekimlano. Later they didn't say mazos also lekimlano. Later they said v'ashev yashev lano eis kol ha'ra asher gamalnu asof. It's just we were responsible. We are the cause of our own situation. The unfortunate situation they found themselves in. Why? Because later they saw the chain of events. But a person by nature has a tether that he thinks he could isolate and he could tell what is going to cause him harm or what doesn't cause him harm. So Rashi says there's only one way to tell whether you're responsible, and that is by the nature of the event itself that you did. Your deed, the deed itself has to be examined. If it was worked out according to Seichel and Chochma and Yosher and Emes, then there can't be anything evil come out of it, that would come out of it. But if it wasn't, so then you can't eliminate it because you think in your mind, hey, this is not going to get me, it's not going to get back at me, it's not going to come back to me. That's a nonsensical thing because the chain of events out there is only the Borei Olam knows the chain of events. So you think you know, but you really, that itself is an absolutely false assumption. So that's really what the Ramban says, and that's an important thing. And Rashi really opens up the area. It's an important thing because, as we're saying, to be matzdik God's mishpat is the greatest mitzvah, because a person who says mazos when the Achei Yosef said mazos also lakim lanu, what is Rashi saying? That was a barrier between them and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mazos also lakim lanu. It was a barrier. And why? Because they said, hey, this is not just. That's what they're saying, this is not just. Mazos also lakim lanu. So that barrier came about because of the Ivelus Adam, because they distorted their own path, and then they blamed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's what Rashi is saying. So the limud is that many times a person finds themselves in an unfortunate situation, say, hey, what do I deserve this? Why did this happen to me? But many times in truth, the person has to have the realization that it may be something you did, but the chain may seem remote and almost impossible. But it still is very likely and very possible that it is your deed. So the only way for a person to know, to examine the evil, is not through the chain of events, but through his examining his own deeds. That is the only way. Okay, but people don't use that methodology. People do not use that methodology. They'll always use the other methodology. I say, well, this happened. What can I trace this to anything I did? Can't be. Can't be this, can't be that. That's too remote. Okay? That's not the way to trace it. You really can't trace it. The only way you could trace it is by examining the deed itself and whether you used chachma and whether you used chachma and emes and what you did. That's the only way. Okay. Yes. You're right. No, you're right. He's asking a good kash on Rashi. What is Rashi saying? that they blamed God, but it says right before, it says in Kana Matan, when they realized what the gzara was that the chimin had to stay, and then they had to go back to the father and tell him that they're gonna have to take Binyamin also. So then it says Vayanru alo Amatalakam Altakhtu Vayal Veloshmatam the Gam Damo Hine Didrash. So they recognized, you see, they recognized that they're chayev. They recognize that they're chayev because the nature of the event that happened, that it brought to mind, and that's like mida kenega mida, basically. That's the idea of mida kenega mida, that they took away from the father the brother that he loved. And now they have to go back to the father and tell him the other one that's left, they have to take him too. So that brought to them mida kenega mida, and they said avol Hashem manachna alachino. They said, and then Reuven said, al tach devayev lo shematan v'gam damo hinei nidrash. V'gam damo hinei nidrash. So there would seem that they were chozer b'tshuva, that they were chozer b'tshuva. But then it says later. But then later, in the same not too many pesukim later, when they opened up the bags. Vayom Eloch Avushav Kaspi v'gamin evam v'yetzei libam v'yechedu ish Eloch Avlema mazos osa l'kim lanu. So apparently what it means is like this, there's two aspects to it. One aspect is the person recognizes in terms of Avera. But he did what they don't recognize is what they didn't recognize the chain in terms of the chain of events. You see, in terms of the chain of events, they felt this can't be that this is related to that. Can't be connected. So both are true. Both are true. That shows you, I mean, a person can have a hero tshuva, because of a tshuva insofar as the avera is concerned, but they won't believe that there is a natural causal chain between what they did and between the... And as long as they don't see that, they have a complaint against God. It's an interesting thing. It's an interesting thing. Even knowing they did Navera, Even though a person will recognize he did an avera, but if he doesn't see, until he sees the natural cause of events and the chain of them, why he's really responsible for what he, for the situation he's in, he has a complaint against God. And that's the nature of man. It's an amazing idea. You say, yeah, it was a chote, I did this wrong, I did that wrong, and if you don't really see the chain of events, you think, why did God do this? I mean, why he still has a complaint against God. But once they saw the chain of events, then it was, then the complaint was God. Then the complaint is gone. Yeah.
Was Austin for sure, was Austin certainty that they gave the money? And now to find it back in the thing was like, preposterous. I mean, how could that be?
What do you mean?
It can't simply be a simple mistake that we gave the money.
Correct. Correct, yeah. But that's what I'm saying. You're right. That's why it was preposterous. It was something which was basically impossible. But the truth of the matter is, and once they understood what happened, I mean, they saw directly a result from what they did to him and the situation. He turned out the position he was in and how he was able to exercise his own judgment and his own control over them. Yeah.
No,
I told you, Mida Kenegan Mida, they recognized Mida Kenegan Mida. We have a klal of Mida Kenegan Mida. What does it mean that God deals with a person Mida Kenegan Mida? What kind of an idea is that? So the idea is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a person an opportunity in life to be chozer b'tshuva. And when you confront the situation that brings to your mind the chait, a person should cause a person to reflect. That's the purpose of Mida Kenegan Mida, to cause a person to reflect. So they were exactly in that situation. They took away from the father the son that he loved, and they were with him by a mourningless nachem, and they saw all the suffering he went through, and now they have to go and take away from him the remaining son. So that immediately brought to their mind the chait. And that's Mida Kenegan Mida, and that's supposed to cause a person to reflect into the situation. It doesn't necessarily, you can't read the Hashgacha, but it certainly, it's an impetus. And if it is, when they thought into it then, later, all those years later, without the emotions were gone, then they said, Avol Hashem Manachon Alachino. Because the other emotions, the counter emotions were gone, the situation had was gone for years already, and now they weren't in that same emotional, the hatred, the kin, all those things that caused the decision all those years before were gone. And now the event brought to their mind what they did, and they re-evaluated it, and they said, Avol Hashem Manachna Alachina, we made a mistake. You see? So they recognized that the onesh min hashamayim was what they recognized basically that they were chatoim, but they didn't see. But what they still had a complaint against God, because they didn't see the chain of events. The chain, as long as you don't understand, as long as the person doesn't see the chain of events, so then he could say he did a chait, but it's not going to, the lack of knowledge as to how they were actually the cause of what of their own situation prevents, is a mechitza. It's a mechitza. In other words, it's like the Ramban says that the mechitza between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the lack of das. And as long as the person, there's no comparison between showing a person, say, you did not vera, so that's why you got this onish. That's very nice, and the person can even get chozer b'tshuva. But as long as the person doesn't really see how Ivelas Odom to Salif Darko, how he caused it actually himself, with his own hands he caused it, he still harbors a certain kind of complaint against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yes. The idea I'm trying to bring out from Rashi is, the idea that Rashi is trying to express is that a person because has a limited vision, and because of that limited vision, many times they have complaints. A person has to recognize that their vision is limited, and that really what they're suffering from could very well be nothing more than a natural chain of events that was started by their own doing, by their own actions. That's what Rashi's saying. That's what Rashi's saying. Rashi's saying That's what Mishle is saying, that a person by nature will always assume if something's something happens to him, he assumes that he somehow or other can tell what the where this came from. And he thinks over his life, did I do this? Or that? And he thinks, you know, couldn't be from this, couldn't be. That whole method is false. That's what the Mishle is saying. Because since you cannot know the chain of events, so a person should always know that he can't know that. And that helps a person be matzdik the din. That's what Rashi is saying. If the Achei Yosef would have known what happened to Yosef, and that he's in, and they put him in such a situation, and because of what they did to him, the chain of events led to his being ashamed of the Melech, and he was doing all this like they knew later, they would never say Mazal Sosol Lekim Lanu. It would be absurd. Okay? So the complaint, Mazal Sosol Lekim Lanu, was based on the fact that they assumed that they could trace everything, and they can't trace this to anything they did. That's what it means. Mazal Sosol Lekim Lanu means we couldn't have had any part in this. Okay, but the truth of the matter is they did. They really actually caused it. So what Rashi is telling you is that in life, a person many times is not matzdik the din because he thinks he knows the chain of events, the possibilities of the chain of events. If a person would realize that he can't know that, and he would know that it's very, very possible that as much as he went through the situation, he himself was the cause of the situation that he's in, actually be a dayim, then he would never. Then he wouldn't say Mazal Sosol Lekim Lanu. That's what Rashi say. Basically, what Rashi is trying to show you is this: what the Ramban is saying, that a person has to realize that he's not in a position to say Mazal Sosol Lekim Lanu. He's not in the, because a human being isn't in that position. So many complaints that people have are because they refuse to accept the fact that they cannot possibly know what the cause of events are. And if they would know, they wouldn't be matzdik the din. So this is something which a person should use to be matzdik the din and not allow it to be a mechitza between them and God. That's the point Rashi's making. That's the point the Ramban is making. That's what the Ramban calls the pasuk. That's why this pasuk is a big yisod in how a person should think about life and not come to a quick judgment and say Mazal Sosol Lekim Lanu. Because if he saw the chain of events, he possibly would not say it. He doesn't know, but he has to. If he, the recognition of the fact that he doesn't know, see, that was their mistake. Their mistake was they thought they knew. Mazal Sosol Lekim Lanu means it was, this is like a Maisa Men HaShamayim. What is an action, an event which is unexplainable? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. How could this possibly happen? This is an act of God, but it really wasn't. It was their own action. That's basically what that's what the pasuk is telling. We don't say we know things. That's, you see, everybody wants to know, but the whole derech haTorah is that you don't know, but it's not a blind not knowing. It's based upon chokhmah, based upon emes and reality. I mean, that's the whole different system over here. Everybody wants to know. I mean, mida keneged mida. Do you know that this is what it is? We don't know. We want to say fashish myself. Mida keneged mida. Does that mean you know? Let's say you find mida keneged mida. Does that mean when the Achei Yosef said that Avol Hashem Anachnu Lachina, they knew it? Because it's a similar kind of situation, that's why they knew it. They couldn't say they knew it. The reason why they said Avol Hashem Anachnu Lachina was because, not simply because this event happened, must be that God is doing this to us because we must be guilty. That's a stupid way of, that's a stupid derech hachayim. I mean, that's like Lahavdil, again, like Gayim say, this have, I did this, I did that. The whole derech hatar is a person should have knowledge and understanding. And when they see mida keneged mida, it means they should rethink and reevaluate the situation. Would you do that now? What do you think now? When the emotions are gone, now think, rethink it. That's what tshuva is. Tshuva is not to say God did this because of that. Who knows why God did it? There's no way for a person to even imagine that he knows why HaKadosh Baruch Hu does something is the biggest absurdity in the world. It can't be anything more absurd. So we don't know. But the only thing we can do is that when you see that a mida keneged mida can bring to mind a situation which demands a reevaluation, and therefore you can be chozer b'tshuva if you reevaluate it and you see that you were wrong. If you reevaluate it, the Gemara says, yefashish myself. But the Gemara says, pishpesh v'lo matzah. Let's say, for instance, you evaluate it and you don't see what's wrong. You don't say, this is mida keneged mida. I must be wrong. That's why God is doing this. That's goyim do that. That's shtus v'hevel. What we say is that it, that there are opportunities to reevaluate, but then you have to reevaluate. If you gain insight and you see you were wrong, that's a real tshuva. Just to say, Avol Hashem Anachnu Olchinu, because now God is going to strike us down, that's pachan in yira. That's what the Rambam say. Ein roi lavad es Hashem ala derech hazeh. That's not the way to serve God. So they didn't do that. What they did was, this caused them to reevaluate, and they saw they were there, and that's all. They couldn't say this is why God's doing it. Yes.
The last part of the statement is, if you refresh
us, well, we'll get there. Ramban explains that. Okay. That's the Ramban explains what that means, Bittlefera. Okay. Not such a simple thing. Okay. It doesn't just mean Bittlefera. Okay. But anyways, that's exactly what he's saying. That there are different types of matzdik the din. That if a person sees that he caused his own harm, that removes the entire complaint. The thing may ikro. So there's no greater tzidduk hadin than seeing that God didn't have anything to do with this. It's not even a question of onesh. You did it yourself. That's what the Ramban is saying. It's a mitzvah to be mazdik the din, to remove the barrier between you, and that's one of the realms of life where a person falls into a mistake and he finds himself complaining when he has no right to complain. Yes. What you're saying is right, but I think you could even round that out a little more. In other words, like this. The thing is that, for instance, I mean, if you take Moshe Rabbeinu's onesh, okay? And that was definitely a gzera. It wasn't his fault. It wasn't a chain of events that he it was simply a chait that he was yan lo hamantem bilag disheni lelede bnei Yisrael lachen lo sovias omazeh. So it was a gzera. There are things that are a gzera mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's it. But what the pasuk is saying is like this. That even if a person should know that, even if a person, first of all, to be on such a level is a very high thing, but even if a person were on such a level where he would know, somehow we'd know that this is just actually God came in and intervened in order to give this person, he intervened with the natural order in order to give this person an onesh. Okay? Okay. So, of course, he's matzdik the din. He's matzdik the din. But, does he really understand the din that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was done? Can't. He can't. How HaKadosh Baruch Hu waited? That's impossible. He can't do that. So there has to be an area where his mind cannot fathom. Okay? His mind cannot fathom. Now, wherever there's a blank spot, wherever there's a lack of knowledge, there's a defect insofar as we're concerned. Of course, we have to live with that. That's what the Ramban says. There's no way that we can't live with that because ki lo machshav osai machshav osechem, so it's impossible. All right, but where a person can really see the chain of events, and it's not even a mishpat, then Allah has come of a chama. He's matzdik the din completely, where he can see exactly what it is. That's a different. You understand? It's a different kind of being matzdik the din. It's a higher level of matzdik the din, and it removes to a greater degree, the barrier between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu in terms of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being the Melech HaMishpat. You understand what I'm saying? That's what Rashi is. That's what the Pasuk is saying. What the Pasuk is saying is that people have a wrong method of evaluating things, and many times a person should take into consideration the fact that this thing may actually be simply a result of their own doing, and you don't have to go into... It's not even necessary to go into why HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it and what his judgment is. You did it. That's the pasuk. Ivelus ha'odam tisalev darko ve'el Hashem yizaf libo. That's what the pasuk is saying, basically. It's not even a question of din. Not even a question of understanding. See, they did the other thing. Aval Hashem manachna alachina. Fine. So they threw it into the realm of God's mishpat. And they accepted the din. Gam damo inedirish. They accepted the din. But Rashi's saying that was a mistake. Because they didn't even have to come onto that. They were saying that this is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing to us because he's being Yoshev Adan and he's intervening with nature in order to give us an onesh. That's a tzedek din, true. But it wasn't even necessary. Tzedek din means you have to accept it. You can't assume. You may say that, you may say God is right, whatever it is, but you're throwing it into a certain sphere, and in that sphere has to be justifiable. The whole sphere. And actually, the sphere wasn't even justifiable. Because it wasn't even something that, that's not the way it was. It wasn't simply God gave them, intervened and gave them an onus. It was bor al yadom. They actually brought it on themselves. You see? That's what the pasuk is saying. It's a different kinds of, different levels of tzedek adin. And the greater the tzedek adin, the greater the knowledge the person has, the greater the tzedek adin, the closer the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and himself is, and the absence of the barrier, you understand, between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if it's very nice, if a person mazik, they didn't say, ah, the Bnei Shalom came in, and he gave me this onesh, ben HaShemayim, and I accept it because I did this chet. That's nice, but he doesn't even have a right to do that if he caused it himself. So that's false. So the tzedek adin is not even a proper tzedek adin. That's what that's the pasuk. Ivela sa'odam tesalif daro ve'ela l'shem yizaf libo. So Rashi says yizaf libo doesn't mean necessarily that you say that God is wrong. You could even be that's actually another dimension of the. What Rashi is saying, because you see, they were matzik the din. They said the gam dama avol Hashem manachna lachino, correct? So what? So where did Rashi see avol Hashem yizaf libo? On the contrary, they said avol Hashem manachna lachino, and then they said gam dama hine nidrash. So the answer is, even if you are matzik the din that way, you're still it's el Hashem yizaf libo, because this is not true. Because you're blaming God, and even though you accept the din, but you're saying that God intervened with the laws of nature to give me an onus, which I accept. Very nice, but you have no right to even do that. Even that is wrong if you brought it upon yourself. That's what the pasuk is saying. So the tzedek adin is actually a chasaron, because you're being matzik adin when there's no necessity to even. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't even do this. Okay, that's what Rashi's saying. It's a different idea. I mean, Rashi really opens up there's a whole new dimension to the pasuk, really. That El Hashem Yizaf Libo could even be if you're mekabel then. Even if you say Avol Hashem Manachna Lachino, but still you have no right to do that. You did it yourself. So what are you saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is right in his din and he's right in intervening and giving me this onus? You did it yourself. So that is every lack of knowledge is a barrier between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that tzedek adin is not good. That tzedek adin is very nice, but it's wrong, it's false, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't even need this tzedek adin because it's not, he didn't do it. That's what Rashi said. You understand me? Rashi knew the previous psukim, and the previous psukim said, Avol Hashem Manach Malachino. Rashi knew that. I want you to understand, I mean, as remote as things sound, the truth of the matter is, when you look back, it was really... Now, it wasn't an impossibility that took place, because here you had Kiven Zekunimulo. He was an unbelievable Chacham Yosef. Obviously, Yaakov Avinu saw that there's something very special about him. He gave him over to the Torah Shem Vever, and he made him the leader, and he was the leader over there. They wouldn't accept him, but the fact is he was an unbelievable Chacham, the greatest Chacham in the world. And it's true they sold him as an Eved, but people who have talent and abilities... It can rise again in the most adverse situations, and that's exactly what happened, basically. Okay. Of course, everything's Ashgacha, but B'derech Shalom Reitz Leilach Malach Nasa, yeah. What is saying? Honestly, you don't understand what I'm saying here. So the answer is... the answer is that both are true. That's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is in Yahadus, we never say we know what the... What God did. We don't say that. That's Lavan Arami, Mashem Yatzadar. We don't know. But what we say is, what the Chochmah of Mishle is telling us, is that we should, it's mitigating our complaints. In other words, before, a person has complaints about their life, so you have to be Mazdik the Din. What Mishle is telling you is that you have to look at everything in terms of the total picture. And a person, certainly a person that recognizes that he doesn't have the knowledge of the chain of events, he may feel, he may be in a painful position, but because of that, It's a mitigating, that's a mitigating factor, and it takes away the, even though he'll never figure out, he may never figure out the chain. The Achei Yosef were fortunate they found out the chain later. But in our lives, who says you're going to find out the chain? You may never find out the chain. But it takes away it takes away the brunt of the complaint. It mitigates. What it's telling you is like this. The Torah doesn't say not to think. The Torah says you have a right to think, and a person has a right to say mazay sasa lekim lo. No, a person has a right to complain on a certain intellectual level. But it means to say has a right to think into the situation. But he has to have knowledge, and with the knowledge, the sharpness, you understand, of the complaint is dull. You understand what I'm saying? You have to look at what Mishlei is trying to tell you is that. Yeah, fine, a person, every human being, the Torah doesn't say, that's what the Ramban says, the Torah doesn't say, that, you know, just say, that's it, God is right, that's it. That's a mois b'chachma. So you have a right to investigate. You're supposed to investigate. You're fast fresh from myself. You're supposed to use your mind and your intelligence. But in the process, you have to know what the factors are, what the factors, line up the factors, and know what the reality is before you think you have a complaint. Okay, you have to, so it's true, if you don't know, you may not know the chain of it, it may be very remote. But the mere fact that you know that it may be such a thing, where it's possible, I don't say it's always possible, certain cases not possible, but where it is possible, the knowledge of the fact that there may be a link, and I don't know it, takes away from the barrier between him and God insofar as his feeling that God is unjust.
How can both be true?
You think? You don't know. Since you don't know, a suffix complaint, it does not have the same force and power as a definite complaint.
Just because I don't know doesn't mean that.
The idea is when a person has a complaint, there's a barrier between him and the Kaddish Baruch Hu, because that's what he's saying. So what Shlomo Melech is telling you is, before you set up the thing, you should know before you start that the complaint area, you may be totally wrong, because it's very possible there's a chain over here that you just don't see, and you're responsible for your own doing. So don't complain about God. Don't complain against God. Maybe not. Maybe God intervened in order. So maybe God intervened because you're on a high level and he wants to save you from failing. That could be. Okay? That's a wonderful thing. It could be. But then you might stick to din. Fine. But the point is, the point that Shlomo Melech is making is that people, out of arrogance and out of the assumption that they have knowledge where they don't, lodge complaints against God when they really don't know that it's so. That's his point. You should know that you don't know. And insofar as you don't know, your complaint cannot be of the same power and force, you see. And it might not even be a complaint. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? That's what Shlomo Melech is saying. Shlomo Melech is giving you insight into how you relate to God. Before you start relating to God and setting up your complaints, you have to realize certain facts, certain things. And then you'll see that your distance between your problem with being mastik the din is not as great as you think. Okay? You still don't know. But there's a difference in a person that does know and has a complaint and a person says, I don't know. Maybe it's my fault. That's a different thing. That's a partial tzedek din already. And the importance of that is that the relationship between you and God is not broken. That's the important thing. So don't break it because of a false assumption. That's what Shlomo Melech is teaching you. That's the idea of pasuk.
Okay?
A person is guilty. Any lack of truth and knowledge in Yahadus is bad. Any lack of truth and knowledge has to be bad. So if you say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervened and you matzik the din, but he didn't even intervene, you did it yourself, that's a lack of truth. So that's a different idea. So it's a false idea. Okay? So that means, and that has to, by definition, your relationship between you, the relationship between you and God has got to be more distant than if you knew the chain of events. It has to be. Because even though you're not sick, it's not true. It's not, it doesn't even need tzedakah din. Okay? That's what the Ramban is saying, that the fool said, yes, accept his din. Yeah, that's a fool. Because how could you say that if it's not even his din, if it's your din? You did it yourself. Okay? That's the
point. Yeah.
You can have knowledge of me, that that's a Rashi says in Brachas. It's not a saying, Fashish and myself, I think Rashi says Mida Keneged Mida. Because it means Mida Keneged Mida doesn't have to do with Nevuah. Mida Keneged Mida means that it's Chesed Hashem, that when Hashem is when Hashem corrects an individual, that he does it in a way that it brings to his mind the chait. And that's why he has an opportunity to reevaluate the situation now. That's the whole idea of tshuva. What's the idea of tshuva? Tshuva is that the person, when he's engaged in activity, all the forces and all the emotions are active in this, in the given situation, and he makes a judgment. But then, months later, he has a chance to relive that situation without the force of the emotions of the moment. Then he has an opportunity to see what is really true, to evaluate it in a different way, in a truthful way, and that's when he corrects the soul. The soul is going to fail, has to fail. Impossible. The soul has to fail because the emotions are engaged in the activity and in the moment. But a person has an opportunity to perfect himself later because he has memory traces and he can relive the experience, reanalyze it, reevaluate it, and come to a different decision. Can't undo what he did, but the decision in terms of his soul, he can absolutely correct 100%, and that's why when a person's chos b'tshuva, as if he never was a chabad. Okay?
Really?
Yeah. But it can be something totally different. Over here you see, the mina keneged mida was not, came about through Chema, but didn't have to come about that way. Who said that Yosef had to do that to tell Mina? Over in the Mina. The one that instituted the Mina Keneged Mida was Yosef HaTzadik. Okay, he was the one that instituted the Mina Keneged Mida.
Right.
It wasn't God that did it. It was Yosef HaTzadik that did it. Because Vayiskos HaChalomos, he saw that the through Mari Nevuah, he's supposed to correct him. So what did he do? So he followed Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mida Keneged Mida, so he himself instituted a Mida Keneged Mida to bring to their mind before their mind's eye the Avera. So that's the way it worked over here. we can't predict. It's nice people want to give these pat formulas, but we don't have any pat formulas. It could be Mida Keneged Mida, different possibility, but a person has to be a chacham and he has to be able to look at reality in its totality and not desire to hang on the simple formulas that they think will save them. That's not the way it works here.
Right, but then it would only be a possibility.
It doesn't even matter. You fashish masav. Let's say, for instance, a person did a certain chait, okay? Whatever it was, a certain kind of chait, and then he confronts a situation which he sees in Mida Keneged Mida. Does that mean that God did this? No. I tell you, there's no way to know whether God did it or whether it was just part of the Ashgacha Klolius. That's the way the world works. I live or not. But does that mean the person should not avail themselves of the opportunity when they see that type of a thing to be chozer b'tshuva? I would say you'd be a fool if you didn't. In other words, Yifashe Shemasov does not mean to try to determine what God does. Okay?
I
just want to say one more thing. I just want to answer one more thing from that we left off the last time. The question was, this is a powerful question. The question was, basically, the Rashi and the Chumash. By the way, the Ramban, remember, yes, why the Ramban doesn't quote that pasuk, because he used that pasuk for something else. Okay, but but Rashi learns the pasuk in the end of Aschanon. So he says, Mashalom Lasonov, Mashalom Lasonov Elponov Lahavido, Lo Yaacher Lasono Elponov Yishalom Lo. So Rashi says, Bechayov Mashalom Logmulo Atov, Kedei Lahavido Menolam Abba. Okay, that's what Rashi says, and the Ramban says Ramban learns that from another pasuk. But whatever it is, it's a principle of Al Masorah from Sinai, and there's no question about it. But we said it's a very strange thing. Okay, it's a very strange thing to say. On the one hand, what does the Navi say? The Navi says, "Kadosh Baruch Hu waits ad yomo so to chakalo im yashuv," right? Im yashuv miyat the kablo. So on the one hand, the Chesed Hashem is that the Rasha kim b'shuv Rasha midaka v'choya, right? Kilo echpots m'osameis. On the other hand, you have this Chazal. I mean, it's a pasuk actually. Whether it's a pasuk in Devarim, whether it's a pasuk in the Navi, but everybody agrees a pasuk that a Kodesh Baruch was mishalim to a Rasha lahavidom in olam haba. How could it be? I mean, how is it possible to say that how could those two things coexist? They're two mutually exclusive principles. How does that work? Okay? I want to say it's like this. That, and as I said, I mean, when Chazal, you see the Masora tells us, this Masora didn't have to say this. It's not, it is because, the only reason the Masora says it is because, like the Ramban says, we should have insight into Darche Hashem. Okay, that's the benefit. I think the answer is like this. The answer is, we were talking last time about the different things in life that occur to a person, you know, that what Chazal say, what is Tachlis Yisur, and things don't go your way, all these little things that disturb a person, okay, which is part of the normal, the Ramban says, this is part of Olam Kemen Hogod Oeg, it's part of normal life, okay? But the only one that escaped those things, Ramban says, is the Rosh HaGomor. The Rosh HaGomor, okay? So the Rosh HaGomor, somehow or other, that's what Gomorrah means, 40 days. It doesn't necessarily mean 40 days, but it means 40. They give him 40 good days. It could be 40 days, it could be 40 years, whatever it is. It's a mushel. But it means to say that somehow or other, the Russia escapes those. There's a special hashgacha that the Russia should escape these little things. So the question is, I mean, in order why? In order he should be omeid berisho, and he's in a loser and lose all of my bar. Okay. And then, so the question is why is this so? Why should this be so? And how do we understand this in terms of God's mishpat, in terms of kilo echpos b'mos ha-meis, and v'adyom mos ha-techakalo, right? And the answer is like this. The answer is that you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed us in a situation, certain things we know, from the Torah. Namely, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed us in a situation where we have Bechira, free will, and you have a situation of causality. Yeah. But the situation itself, you see, that's the challenge of this life, is to exercise a Bechira in a certain given framework. That's why people, fools always ask, why doesn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu come down and do more Nisan? Why only in Mitzrayim? We always thought in Nis Mitzrayim, you say in Shachris and Myra, one time Nis Mitzrayim and that's it. Why does not HaKadosh Baruch Hu do more Nisim? See? So what's the answer? What's the answer to that question? The answer to that question is because obviously if that were the case and HaKadosh Baruch Hu would interfere with the natural order at every moment, so what would happen is there would be no Bechira anymore. The Bechira would be compromised. The Bechira would be no Bechira, basically. Because the whole idea of Bechira is for a person to live according to Chochmah in a world that's run by Chochmah. That is God's will. That is God's will. Anything that breaks that is a breach in God's will. V'ayred latzilo miyad Mitzrayim, Chazal say, it was a Yerida. Why was it in Yerida? Because it wasn't in perfection. Because the Nisim and the flaws are no good, really. It takes away from a person's real ability to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu because of Yediyah and because of Bechira Chofshis. Okay? So what it means is like this. So what that Chazal means is as follows. That a part of the Bria, and here I say what Chazal say that a person can't, two psukim never come for one thing. It's a lachem Sanhedrin. Two psukim, that's why if two dayanim base their psak on two different psukim, it counts as one. Because two psukim can't come for one thing. But one pasuk can come for many things. Kipakish shifotze itself. And that's because that's Chachmas Hashem. But it's Chachmas Hashem insofar as the way the Torah is written. But it's Chachmas Hashem insofar as the world works also. In other words, we could find something that exists that has many different purposes and benefits. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way he is a borei yesh me'ayin, a different kind of a borei, a different, all different realm than our idea of being creative, okay? The whole realm is different. Okay. So therefore, what it means is like this, that in the world, there is a certain law of nature. Events happen through the causal chains, and things don't go your way, okay? That's a natural order.
But what Chazal is saying is like this, that there's a benefit in that also from an ethical framework also, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in creating that, one of the benefits, one of the reasons why that exists is also for man on a personal level. Why? Because when things see that, when people see that things don't go their way, okay, so this causes, this interrupts the progress of the instinctual. It interrupts it, because the instinctual wants things to be, wants things to be the way they want it. The way they want it. You see, that's really the focus of the instinct and the impetus of the instinct. And when things don't go your way, in other words, when it's an olam she'eino shalach, that breaks the instinctual. The instinctual is where the person wants to think it's an olam shalach. Okay? I mean, you see, I don't have to bring too much of raya, but you see, Frank Sinatra just died. What did they say? He did it his way. See? Yeah. That's the illusion. That is the illusion. That's the illusion of the Russia. That it's his world and he does it his way. That's exactly the opposite of that's the instinctual. That's the expression of the instinctual. You have this as notes. An olam sheina shalach. So when things do not go your way, you see, that's a breach in the whole illusion and fantasy of the instinctual. And it's a benefit for a person. So therefore, fellas, so the thing is, so this is a normal thing in the Bria, and it's based on God's infinite chokhmah and the system of cause and effect that He implanted in the Bria, but it also serves man insofar as his own ability to perfect himself. It's a double function. And you can't ask a kasher, is this for this? Why is this for that? That's God's infinite chokhmah. One pasuk tells you many things. And one thing that exists has many benefits. It's there because his infinite chokhmah dictates that it should be that way, because there's a causal chain which is based on his chokhmah. But it also serves the purpose of man, that it breaks the instinctual impetus and gives him an opportunity to be chozer and tshuva. That's another reason why it's there. One thing is there for many reasons, okay? That's something we can't understand, because a human being, when he creates, he does it for one purpose, and that's it. But in the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a barei, one thing can be there for many, many reasons. As a Chazal try to point this out, like with the Shemesh and the Oreach, in the beginning of Bereishis, that Ein Shnei Malachim Mishtamshim B'Keser Echad. So what does it mean? I mean, the sun, the reason why we have a sun, the moon, is God's infinite chachma, he studied astronomy, you see it has to be that way. But Chazal is saying it all serves another purpose. It reflects a certain idea. So part of the reason why God created the universe, the solar system in this way, is to reflect a certain concept also. It had to be that way because of the physics of it, true, but it serves a double function. That's God's infinite chachma, that one thing can exist for many reasons. Okay, man can't do things that way, but God's infinite chachma is that way. Two psukim can mean one thing, but one pasuk can mean many things. Same thing is true in the creation. So what it's saying is like this. What the Chazal is saying is a very interesting idea. Chazal is saying the following. That the reason that things go wrong for a person, and because of the natural order, that natural order is a part of God's chachma in setting up the Bechira system. In other words, a person has a system of Bechira, and you understand very well, if every time a person did something that was wrong, that God intervened, he would not have any Bechira anymore, be gone. Because the whole idea of Bechira wouldn't exist, because Bechira means that you should do things because of Chachma, because of knowledge, based upon the situation, interacting in the situation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed before you. That's the definition of Bechira. So everybody thinks that the natural order just doesn't, God created natural order, it's teva, that's it. It's true, it's teva, but what Chazal is saying is that it also is there for a person's Bechira to interact with, to give him the perfect balance of Bechira. Okay? So if you didn't have the world working that way, so then... Okay. So if you didn't have a world working that way, so basically, So basically, the whole Bechira would be, wouldn't be evenly balanced. Okay? So you see, so God created that situation, the natural law also kicks in on a different level. And that's part of God's Chachma as well, that's why it should be there. Okay, so it's there because of all the laws of nature, but it's there also because of Adam. Okay? So it serves a double function. So what Chazal is saying is like this, that a person that is a person that is a Russia, when a person has made a decision to be evil, you see, so then if God would intervene,
give me a favor, just take it off.
If God would intervene when the person acted in a way that was evil, the whole Bechira would be lost. Okay? So if God would intervene, if man would not find himself in a system of natural law, first of all, the whole idea of Bechira wouldn't apply, because it means the whole idea is Chachma interacting with a system of Chachma, okay? Using Chachma, that's one. But besides that, if every time a person did something and things would happen to him, his whole mentality, the individual's mentality of Bechira would be broken. Okay? The whole idea of Bechira would be broken. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not intervene in this world. That's one thing we could say, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not intervene in this world in a way that human Bechira is removed. Okay? And that explains why people, only nonsensical people, ask this question, why doesn't God do all these, do monism? Now, why does God do this? The answer is, it is precisely for the reason that he created man that he doesn't do that, because then it would interfere with the whole Bechira. So even God's interference in the laws of nature over the centuries, it is never in a way where the Bechira of man is taken away, where man's Bechira is removed. Because then the whole system would be worthless, okay? Would thwart the entire purpose of the system. So now what Chazal is saying is an interesting thing, and this you need Nevuah for, because a person can't know without Nevuah. But the idea that when things go wrong, and that's part of the natural order, you think it's only the natural order, Chazal said that's not true, that really it also serves another function, and that is to give the person a chance of Bechira, because it stops the impetus of the instinctual force, you see. But the thing is, what Chazal is saying is as follows, that if the person becomes a Rasha, if an individual becomes a Rasha, it is not just that he should have access to that situation. Okay? In other words, like this. That's called the Rach of Mishpat, means like this. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way he set up the balance, is set up in a way that it's Mishpat. It means, the question is like this. I could be a Rasha, I could be a Tzaddik, right? Okay. So the thing is, when God puts me in a situation where my Yetzer Hara is impeded with so this gives me an opportunity for good, right? But that is part of God's emes and mishpat to put me in that situation, that I should have precisely that balance. So the balance itself is part of God's chachma and part of God's mishpat. Okay, so what Chazal is saying is that a person, that's what Ramban says, for most people as it is, but an exceptional individual, an individual who is a Rasha Gomor, you see, has lost that opportunity. You see, he has lost that opportunity for Bechira. He doesn't deserve, justice demands that he's not entitled to that benefit. He lost his entitlement to that benefit, which is a favorable one for an individual's Bechira. But he loses it if he's a Rasha Gomor. So since he loses it, so the Ashgacha steps in. That's what it means. Meshalem Lasono Vaponov Lavido. It means Lavido Mechayel Labo. It means justice is such that he has no right to the benefits of this situation anymore. He lost his right to that situation. Okay? That's called Rachav Mishpat. So that's basically, and it's not a tarti de sasri with the pasuk of kilo echbots b'mos hameis adyo mosot techaklo, because he still can do tshuva. He still, God does not impede his ability in terms of himself, his own will, to be chozer b'tshuva. On the contrary, God wants him to be chozer b'tshuva, but the mishpat is such that justice demands that he is not entitled to that element of nature that gives a person, you see, that was created for the purpose of giving a person an opportunity of tshuva. He lost that right for that opportunity. But his own bechira, you see, is not impeded with. So it's not a tat. That's what Chazal is saying. That's something you can only know through and before. That's why, that's what the Ramban means. That's what the Chazal mean when they say that if a person, has 40 days without Yisurim, without dreams, without normal Yisurim, so it means he must be a Rosh HaGomer. It means to say that it means that the purpose of the creation, which was to give the person the opportunity to be chozer b'tshuva, this was a chesed Hashem, really, he doesn't deserve that. He doesn't deserve that in his state. He lost his rights to that benefit. Once he lost the rights to that benefit, called Rachav Mishpat, it's taken away from him. That's basically what Chazal is saying. But that's why I said that idea can only know through Nefuah, because you can't know that God created that for two reasons. I mean, that's something you can't know. It's in part of the natural law. If you're a big philosopher and you're a big chacham and you're a big scientist, you say it has to be that way. Insofar as you understand, I mean, on the contrary, knowledge will support the idea this is what it has to be. But to know that God implanted that in nature in order that man, one of the reasons is that in order that man should have his bechira, is entitled to something that works against the Yetzer Hara. That's something he's entitled to. But if he's a Rosh HaGomer, he loses entitlement to that. And therefore, Mishpat, Kol Rachav Mishpat, demands that he has a Yom Tov, that he has a day in which he doesn't have any tzaras, because he's not entitled anymore to those elements which break the Yetzer in order to steer him in the correct derech. Yes. Just like an ordinary person, you see, just like an ordinary person is not entitled to God intervening in order to scare him. I mean, so then, of course, everything is worked out precisely. In other words, this is what you're entitled to. And this is you're entitled to this much break of the Yetzer in order to exercise your Bechira. That's what you're entitled to. Not more, not less. But the Rosh HaGomer is not entitled to that either. Yes? What the Rambam learns by Paro is that a person can reach the level, an Odom can reach a level where he's not entitled to Bechira. He's not entitled to Bechira. Justice demands he has no way, he's not entitled to Bechira anymore. He's like a behemoth, yeah. Let me explain that. What that means is, okay. But what that means is that God's knowledge dictates it would be unfair to place a person in the situation of Bechira and just in the natural order with nothing assisting him after he makes his decision. That would also be unjust. That's why you need Bederach Shalom Rotz Leilach Melech Nasal. Because it means it would be unjust for a person, he decides he wants to be good, he wants to go to Tov, and then all of a sudden all of the events are going to go against him, he's going to knock him over. That wouldn't be fair. So therefore, on the contrary, Bederach Shalom, that the Bechira, he's given the opportunity to do the Bechira. But once he does the Bechira, then God assists him, and that is Mishpat. He deserves it. He made the choices. And the same thing for the Russia. The Russia made the choice to go in an evil way, and justice demands that he has exactly what he's after. That's justice. That's Mishpat. And these things are deterrents. He's not entitled to those deterrents. That's his judgment. But never, except in the case by Paro, but ordinarily we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu never interferes with a person's Bechira. Okay, so it's all part of Kol Rachav Mishpat. All part of Mishpat. In other words, mishpa means like this. So to take from the positive side, you can see it. The positive side is like this. A person decides, a person exercises bechira properly, and he decides he wants to pursue Chochmas HaTorah, so it would not be fair if he was just allowed to be in the world of chance. Because chance can knock him over, and he can knock him off his path and never